everyone, my name is Siobhan. I also go by Shiv, and I head up the kids ministry at City Gates Church in Ilford. I also coordinate a girls only annual youth conference called Girl Talk, and I'm also part of the Limitless Kids team. So there's a great team of us. We help all the children's workers across Elim as well. On the side, I'm also a personal trainer. I'm very passionate about sports and fitness. In fact, I really struggle with the about me section when it comes to describing myself, because I would consider myself as a bit of a professional busybody. I'm recently married. I got married at the end of August, praise God. It was a very difficult situation, but we managed to have our very own lockdown wedding with our nearest and dearest, with a ton of restrictions, but God was in the midst. With that being said, I'm currently in quarantine or self-isolation with my husband for 2 weeks after our mini moon in Croatia. And it was a break from all those Zoom calls, filming, editing, and failed YouTube uploads. Today, I'm excited to speak on the topic of leadership in the new normal. So I'm gonna open up in prayer just to start things off, and then we're gonna get straight into it. I've got my notes here in front of me if you see me looking over. So Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for everyone who is listening, Lord, to the sound of my voice right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you go before each and every person, whether they're a leader, whether they're a children's worker, a youth worker, and Lord, whatever field they are operating in, Lord, in your kingdom, Lord, we pray that today's message will bless them, will edify them and encourage them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I was actually asked to speak at Oxygen a few months ago, and I really had to get my thinking cap on to think of a topic that would be relevant and encouraging and edify people down the line. So I'd like to share a bit of my story and some of my own experiences and what I believe God is saying. So if we rewind to the beginning of lockdown. So in March, I remember an emergency meeting being called by our pastor, and we were all thrown into the world of we need to go online. I remember thinking to myself, right, I'm creative, I can do this shift, you know, time to pick up on my editing skills. Now, let's segue into life during lockdown. By now, we'd have a few weeks of, you know, filming and editing sessions, getting used to it, you know, a lot of people tuning in, and we're also getting used to life at home. But I personally began to miss my team, my congregation, my friends, and I began to think, how do I maintain these relationships? How do I stay connected with people? Now, often the narrative was, oh, people are at home, they're not doing anything. Well, for me and many others in my position or other leaders, that wasn't the case. In fact, the workload tripled, and we had to become more available for, you know, the Zoom calls and the video requests, random phone calls, and everyone's favorite, the virtual pub quiz. Now, in this time, God really reminded me of an important boundary. You know, as a leader, it is perfectly fine to say no, or even so. It's okay to admit that you don't have the capacity for something at this very moment. I personally had days where I didn't check my phone, I kept it on airplane mode, I didn't take any phone calls. And this boundary has set me up for life. You know, in times where Sunday couldn't be my Sabbath, I had a new Sabbath. It was just a day where it's just me and God, totally uninterrupted. Aside from that, I also had days where I'd feel a great sense of sorrow or sadness. I felt like I couldn't be a good leader because I couldn't see my team in the physical. I felt like I couldn't support their needs, and I really needed wisdom. So at this point, I made a priority to stay in touch with people, you know, checking in periodically, remembering birthdays, sending cards, sending flowers to those who'd experienced bereavements. And I actually remember a few people asking me how I was. And I wanted to, you know, be very forthright and be very honest. And I was actually really struggling to, you know, maneuver as a leader through so much loss, through so much pain. I wasn't used to it. But, you know, in the midst of this, God was and is present throughout. God literally told me, take time out. You know, as a leader, it's equally as important to take time out. It's okay to say no. It's okay to rest. In fact, God and the Bible encourages us to rest and take time to replenish. Now, I want to share a little bit about reopening. Now, many of you are probably now praying, planning, and strategizing about what it means to reopen your church doors and even your ministries. Some of you have done so already, and others may not know when that will be. And now we're in a time where we may be faced with another peak of the pandemic, and often we may feel fearful or worried, but now is a time where we begin to rely on God even more. If He can bring us through this first stage, He can take us through another. Now, whenever you are faced with the moment where God says it's time to reopen, we're faced with new challenges. And I'm speaking from experience here as well. We have to sustain this new digital community that we have. And at the same time, we have to resume a form of normality in our gatherings. Like I said, I'm overseeing the children's ministry, so I'm all too familiar with this. And I'm in a position now where I'm praying, planning, and preparing for what this new normal looks like in kids ministry. Now, the Limitless Kids team put together an amazing resource and set of guidelines for those of you who are soon to open your doors again. And this includes things like social distancing, one-way systems, sanitizing stations, and encouraging children to wash their hands to a happy birthday song. Now, if you are someone who needs some advice or guidance, you can get in touch with us and you can connect with us. We've got our social media platforms at Limitless Kids UK, as well as Facebook, and you can contact us by email too. You know, another one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3:5-6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." And if now more than ever is a time where we should be trusting in God and leaning not on our own understanding. You know, many of us are in a position where we just don't know where to start. What are the schools doing? What is that church doing? What are they doing? Now, I'd also say that be in a place where you are so completely sold out for Christ that all you want to hear is what He has to say. You're not worried about the opinions of others, because it's easy to, you know, compare yourself to see what other people are doing. And now is the time more than ever where we need to be relying on God for wisdom. And that's something that I needed to do. You know, I made it one of my intentions not to watch many other churches or what other people were doing. Now, this verse means a lot to me personally. You know, I've held on to it very dearly in my walk. But now even more so when I had to consider what it means to reopen our church doors. And later, I'm going to share a little bit about Joseph's story in the Bible, in Genesis. I really believe that, you know, he was someone who had to trust in the Lord and lean not on his own understanding. Now, I can confidently say that we are all learning how to relate to others during this pandemic. From a church perspective, pastors, staff members, leaders, even the members are having to adjust their way of interacting with other people. And from the start, I guarantee you've probably said it yourself or heard someone say, "I can't wait for things to go back to normal." Well, I'm afraid I'm gonna burst your and my bubble. It's very unlikely that things will go back to normal once the pandemic ends. But I will say this, in terms of being a leader, there are some ways that we can prepare for this new normal. Now, the obvious one will be acknowledging that we now have a new community that we reach. This new community within the same body, both the physical and the virtual. It's so important that we're addressing both during our services. So point number one is effective communication. Now, before the pandemic, I'm sure we took this for granted. The fact that we could meet face to face. Oh, I'll meet you later. Oh, let's grab a coffee. Then all of a sudden, we're thrown into the world of social distancing, which meant more communication through FaceTime, WhatsApp calls, Zoom, emails, texts, and phone calls, and all this was perfectly fine. In fact, in the new normal, this is what being resourceful looks like. Think of those in your congregation who live far, who can't always travel a distance for that important team meeting, or who can't find adequate childcare. These mediums are great and perfect for this. So I believe that multiple forms of communication will be part of the new normal. Now, this isn't something that you have to do alone. Effective communication needs a team. So now is a great time to, you know, train up other people to oversee the Zoom calls, or someone to oversee the emails, someone to coordinate things together. Because you can't do it alone, now is the time to build a network of people to assist you. And point number two is Bible studies and small groups. So the same issues can arise with this. Now, even when some members decide that they can feel ready to meet in person at church, they might prefer to still do their small groups virtually. Now, for some leaders, it may be quite tricky to continue doing the virtual services as well as in-person services. So again, I say now is the time to train up and to build up a network of people who can support you in doing so. And point number three is be patient. If there's one thing that God has taught me about this season, is to stop, wait, listen, and be patient. And the same should apply to us as leaders. You know, the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. And in doing so, I think we also need to be patient and be able to wait for that person who has been on furlough for months and doesn't know their place in life. Or that person who just doesn't feel emotionally available because they've just been so lonely. Or that person in team who's been bereaved and experienced a great loss. Be patient and don't rush the new normal. And point number four, and maybe one of the most important points, is that virtual church is here to stay. Now, many churches were launched into the world of digital church or online church during the pandemic. And I'm sure that many churches also had really unexpected findings, like more people tuning in to online church than they had in their actual physical church. Now, to continue expanding your reach, it's so important that we focus on improving our digital outreach, even when we start to gather in person again. I read this online. It says, the new normal will involve being both a gathered and a scattered worship community. Now, church post-COVID, whenever that is, will be a different place. But virtual church is here to stay, and we have a great opportunity to reach people. I believe that it will continue to grow and advance. And I'm just going to share a quick quote that I found. And it says, after we come out of a crisis, there's a sense in us that wants to go back to normal. But God was already preparing a people before this crisis. I believe there's going to be a remnant in the global church who step into the invitation of this moment and come back with a tenacity of faith, a spiritual resilience. My hope is that when dawn breaks, the church is actually going to come back stronger. My encouragement for leaders at this moment who are feeling frightened and scared or a loss of control is to step into this moment. This is an incredible moment. God wants to do something, so step into it. Now, not too long ago at the Engage Ealing Prayer event, Mark Greenwood echoed something that God had been saying to me for the last few months. He said that God is moving. And in a similar word I received, that God is busy. And this was enough to spur me on and keep me going. Now, a few months ago, I shared my testimony at Aspire. And this is when I was due to be married in May. But due to COVID, we had to postpone our big day twice. And I was in a position where I didn't know whether my husband and I would actually get married. Now, it wasn't just about the reception, you know, the big day, you know, all the fancy stuff and the canapes. In fact, our lives together was being put on hold, and it was a very discouraging season. And amidst the wedding blues, I was also feeling exhausted and tired of filming and editing and constant failed uploads and the additional screen time. But I remember every time I had a down moment, God would send the right person. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him." And on multiple occasions, people kept sending me that verse, random people. And I began to feel a bit more encouraged and uplifted. I knew that God has got this. But I didn't actually grasp how much God had things under control. Now, when the restrictions began to lift, we finally found out that we were able to get married. So Dwayne and I found a date, Friday the 28th of August. And we found it difficult to be excited, so we took it with a pinch of salt because there were so many previous disruptions. Now, before we got married, someone from my team shared that, "Shiv, you'll be getting married on the 28th day of the 8th month. And that is related to your favourite scripture, Romans 8:28. And she reminded me how profound that was and asked if it was intentional. But it wasn't. And we were just amazed to see that God was in the details. Now, Friday the 28th of August 2020, I woke up on the day of my wedding feeling so excited, full of joy and excitement. And I remember praying and I said, "God, what do you have to say to me today?" And I opened the Bible app after praying, and what do I see in front of me as the verse of the day? Romans 8:28. And I burst into tears, but they were happy tears, of course, because God is in the details. God isn't a God of coincidences. He is very intentional. He is very clear. He is very direct, and he loves his children, and he loves speaking to his children. Now, in all honesty, I've shared a lot about my wedding and a few of my testimony. But what does leadership in the new normal look like? To me, I think it looks like leaders who don't know how, when, or why, but trust that God is moving. Now, Psalm 40 verse 3 says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." So let us all stir up a praise within us because God is busy. Let us praise him in advance. So I'm going to share some good examples for the new normal. And again, I'm back with some top tips. I love top tips. They're so quick and sharp and easy to remember. So you can make some notes. Okay, so the first one is let us utilize social media. Now, I know that some people have their opinions about social media. Some people don't like it. But many leaders have taken this opportunity to see that social media is a great ministry tool. And it's not too late to start. You know, you can start a daily encouraging Facebook post. You can do an update saying, "How can I pray for you today?" These are very simple and easy words, but also give a great spiritual reassurance to those who see it. And the next point is ongoing congregational care. Now, many of you still aren't meeting in the physical sense, but that shouldn't stop us from staying connected to people and supporting those in need. We can offer care in many creative ways. That might mean assisting someone with their shopping. It could be calling someone who's in isolation or shielding. It just means to support those around us. And that leads me on to my next point, which is community outreach. Now, as leaders, we're responsible for our own flock, but we can also extend our compassion to those outside of our church, those in our community and our neighbours. Now, at City Gates, we ran a food program throughout the peak of the pandemic, you know, providing hot meals for the homeless, for families in the community and those who needed support. You know, it's not difficult to be a bearer of hope in a time of need. And the next point is companionship. Now, I don't know about you, but in the peak of the pandemic, being stuck at home, not being able to go outside, I was going a little bit stir crazy. So imagine those people who live alone, who don't have family present in this country. And those of you who are still in this situation, or you know someone in this situation, now is the time to be a great companion. Give that person a phone call. Ask them if they want prayer. And of course, the last point has to be prayer. And this is a time when prayer is essential. It's a great opportunity for us to pray for others who are not yet saved. You can create a weekly prayer forum or a prayer line where people can call in if they have any needs or requests. This is a great opportunity to share burdens, joy, testimonies, and come together as one body. You know, we are all going to adjust to a new normal, whether we like it or not. Maybe the old way just wasn't working. Regardless, we should not be fighting a reality. In fact, we need to leverage it and grasp the new opportunities that are to come. Now, throughout August, the Lord led me to take the children and the families through the story of Joseph. Yep, a whole month of Joseph, because there's so much to his story. So I'm gonna quickly summarize it and paraphrase it in a way that is relatable and that we can all understand. So we have a young boy named Joseph, and he is his father's favorite. In fact, Jacob, his dad, made it known that he was the favorite. You know, every time the brothers would come in, he would say, "Have you done your chores?" But for Joseph, when he came in, "My boy, have you eaten? How are you today? What can I do for you?" Now, to make matters worse, Jacob decided to give his favorite boy a fancy gift. Now, the Bible says that Jacob gifted Joseph a coat of many colors, or a tunic, or a robe. Now, if it was in this day and age, it would be Christmas Day. Jacob has just given Joseph a lovely Gucci jacket, and his brothers have opened up the very own Primark's finest coat. Now, on top of that, Joseph was having these wild dreams, and he would share with his brothers, "You know, one day I believe I'm going to rule over you. I had this dream and that dream." And of course, this stirred up so much envy and jealousy amongst his brothers, and they decided it's time to get rid of him. So they decided they were going to kill him. But one of the brothers said, "Let's not kill him. Let us just get rid of him. Let's sell him into slavery." So they took off the jacket, dipped it in goat's blood, and said to their dad, "Our brother is dead." And of course, he mourned. He was so sad. Now, Joseph was sold into slavery, and Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house. Now, he found favor in Potiphar's eyes. Now, Potiphar's wife was a troublesome one. She began to look upon Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was a very attractive man, you know, muscly, you know, strong. And she decided that, you know, I want a piece of him. Now, Joseph turned down her request and rejected her many times. And I'm pretty sure she felt quite hurt by this. So one day she grabbed him. He ran off. She had his jacket in her hands and said, "Potiphar, he attacked me." Now, of course, this would get Joseph in trouble. Now, Joseph was thrown into prison. And in this very prison, he demonstrated his ability to interpret dreams. He was able to understand what these dreams meant. And he had the baker's and the cupbearer's dreams. And he was able to interpret the cupbearer's dreams. And when the cupbearer was released, he said, "I will not forget you." And what did he do? He forgot him. Now, Pharaoh was having some really troubling dreams. And years after, the cupbearer remembered, "Oh yeah, there's this bloke, you know, in the prison. He can interpret dreams." So Joseph was called out, and he managed to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And because of that, Pharaoh, you know, showed favor on Joseph, and he put him in a very high position. He became the official man in Egypt. Now, fast forward a few years later, there was a famine in Egypt, and Joseph was already quite high up. You know, he was a general in Egypt at this point. And lo and behold, his brothers came struggling, needing food, and he recognized them. And Joseph wanted to see if they changed their ways, so he played a trick on them. You know, he accused them of being spies and accused them of stealing and sent them away. And Joseph remembered them. He said, "Come back. It is I, your brother Joseph. I am alive." And, you know, eventually he went back and was able to show Jacob that he was alive. And his dreams did actually come to fruition. Now, I love this story so much because multiple times in Genesis, we read that God was with Joseph. Joseph really experienced a roller coaster, but God was there throughout, and he didn't lose his hope and faith in him. And another thing that I love about the story of Joseph is that all this happened to him when he was so young. You know, he was thrown into slavery when he was 17, and it wasn't until his 30s that he was ruling over Egypt. Now for me, leadership in the new normal is young people going through a roller coaster of a time, but still managing to do radical things for God. Genesis 50:20 reads, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being, saving many lives." Joseph needed to go through all of this in order to accomplish his purpose. And I'm always reminded of the great song that we started singing, you know, where it says, "You took what the enemy meant for evil and you turned it for good." So I'm just going to wrap up. And in closing, I want to challenge everyone, including myself, who keeps saying, "I can't wait for things to go back to normal." What was normal? Normal was being comfortable, was being content, was living day to day, was routine, it was monotonous. Normal was fulfilling a role instead of living in your call. Today, I would say leadership in the new normal is finding joy in the famine, being creative in the dry land, and finding rest amidst the chaos. A key verse in Luke 5:36 says, he told them this parable: "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wineskin into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins." And here we can see that Jesus was creating a new way of thinking. So I challenge you to look at this season as a new wineskin, a new normal, a new opportunity to reach out. Our mission is to see people saved, and we have a great tool within our hands. Let us normalize people not knowing what to do, but praying for wisdom. People tuning in to online church to be fed, and people being creative on how we minister to the lost in a time where we should be socially distanced. God has literally extended our reach, and now we have a new avenue. And because of this, the church you return to will be a different place with the same mission and a few new quirky methods. As much as we want things to go back to normal, we cannot go back to normal when normal has changed. So today, will you allow God to use this new normal to impact his kingdom? I read this quote and I just love it. And it says, "The future isn't kind to the unprepared, so let's prepare." So I've said a lot today, and I'm going to close in prayer. So Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for whatever this new normal is, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that you are busy, you are moving, you are working, and you are present, Lord Jesus, in the same way you was with Joseph, Lord, in the prison, in slavery, wherever he was, Lord, you are with us, Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice right now who is seeking, Lord, who needs direction, who needs guidance, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will be with them during this time, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will make yourself known, Lord Jesus, that we will be a people who are ready and prepared for this new normal. Lord, that we are ready for the new avenues, Lord, the new doors you've opened for us, Lord. We pray blessing over every church leader, Lord, every congregation member, anyone who's feeling lost or sad or hurt during this time, Lord. We pray that you will meet with them where they're at. We thank you for your holy and mighty word, that it is relevant and it is life-changing. So go before each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. So guys, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions at all, you know, feel free to write them in the chat. And I pray that it has blessed you. And whatever the new normal looks like for you, I pray that your hearts will be ready and prepared for what God has to do, because he is busy. And remember that today, God can use you with this new normal to make an impact in his kingdom. One thing that really stood out to me when I was preparing this message is that the church that we return to will be a different place with the same mission and a few new quirky methods that we've all learned together. So guys, I pray that you enjoy the rest of Limitless Oxygen. I'm Shiv, and I pray that you will remain blessed. Take care.